In the middle of it all is a marvellous, marvellous bit of brilliant Johannine writing. The disciples, these two new ones, say to Jesus, "Where do you live?" And Jesus says, "Come and see." It's an innocent, simple little word in the Greek, mene, and it means to live, to lodge, to dwell, or to abide. "Come and see," says Jesus. And so they went, and they abided with him, same word, that day. Where do you abide? As we read on in the Gospel, we'll encounter the little abiding word over and over again. And it becomes one of the great theological words of the Gospel. Where does Jesus abide? Where does he stay? In the Father's love. I abide in the Father, and the Father abides in me. And if you love me and keep my commandments, you will abide in me as I abide in the Father. Rabbi, where are you staying? Where do you abide? Come and see, says Jesus. And it's John the Evangelist saying to us, come and see, come and read my book. Come and discover where it is that Jesus is, in the heart of the Father's love, Father and Son, in the bond of love, exchanging glory, each glorifying the other, and the Son glorifying the Father through the death that he suffers for the sake of us all, in obedience to the Father's loving purpose. It's so characteristic of John, this little touch. He floats a little word in and you think it just means where are you staying, and it turns out to have a depth of meaning that you need to read the rest of the book to discover. And so it goes on in chapter after chapter. In the other gospel writers, a sign is a bad thing. People are always asking Jesus for a sign, and he says, I'm not going to give you a sign. You shall have no, this is an evil and adulterous generation, and no sign shall be given it except the sign of Jonah, he says. In John's gospel, signs are significant. In fact, they're the structuring principle of the first two-thirds or so of the gospel. Jesus goes on in the passage after what we've just heard read to a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and he turns the water into wine, and John says, and this, the first of his signs, Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory. Signs are events rich in significance about who Jesus is and what his purpose is. And as John tells his story, he gives you a sign, an incident, and then he hangs on that a profound reflection on Jesus. The discourses that are put into the mouth of Jesus and that tell us who he is and what is his relationship to the Father and what is that love into which we are invited. As he abides in the Father's love, so we are drawn to abide in his. When you next go to the British Library, or make a special journey to do this, as you go in, pause first as you go in to look at the bust of the architect, Colin St. John Wilson, Sandy Wilson. It's on the wall on the right, because he's a lovely, lovely man and a very faithful worshipper in this church. So having paid your respects to Sandy Wilson, go to the exhibition gallery, the permanent exhibition gallery, and in the far corner where the Christian Bibles are, you will find a small piece of papyrus preserved in the dry sand of Egypt. It's quite a small bit of paper. It's about an opening of it is about the size of one of the hymn books. And on that, on the left-hand side of the piece, is this morning's gospel, a little bit of this morning's gospel. Coincidentally, it's the same passage, little bit of the exchange with the first disciples. On the right-hand side, quite a wide gap between them, is part of the end of the gospel. It's one of the resurrection appearances, from which we can deduce that this piece of papyrus is one leaf of an exercise book. Some leaves have been folded together to make a pamphlet, and the Gospel of John has been written on it. And we've got a piece of one of the leaves, with a bit near the beginning and a bit near the end. It's dated about the year 200 AD, possibly slightly earlier. In other words, it is as close to John himself as we are to Queen Victoria. Whether close to the end of Queen Victoria's reign or close to the middle depends on where you date John's Gospel. But it's not many generations away from John himself. And I find it a moving little document. It's part of what looked like a school exercise, a little school exercise book, which someone has written out, the Gospel of John. Who, I wonder, is this a literate private individual who was able to have his own copy, the meditation? Was it something that was read aloud in church, as the Gospel's been read this morning? Is it something that was studied together by a group of people? We don't know. But as I look at that little scrap from the ancient world, I can't help but reflect on the countless readers of this book and of how lives have been transformed and shaped by it. How after 2,000 years of reading, it still defies our understanding, not because it is hard, but because it is deep and fathomless. And for that book and for the evangelist who wrote it, thanks be to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.